Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. Today, I am joined by one of the podcast co-hosts. Alistair is here with me, and we recently had a chat about a topic that I think is relevant to everyone. As the conversation progressed, we realized we should probably just do this as a podcast. And so we're going to do that today. Specifically, it's all around event sponsorship. So Alistair is one of the organizers of Phosphor G UK, which is coming up, which he's going to tell us all about. But and is it tasked with finding sponsors for that event. And I myself, work on finding sponsors for GeoMob. But more importantly, in my role as one of the operators behind OpenCage, I'm often contacted by events wanting sponsorship. So we're going to discuss this dilemma and the challenge of finding sponsors. Alistair, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here. Good to see you again, Ed. Hope you're having a good summer, staying cool with all the heat.
I am having a good summer, but before we dive into the meat of our conversation, I should say, Alistair, my dream is going to come to fruition. You are coming to a GeoMob event in mid-September.
I am. The only thing I have to do is work out what I'm speaking about, but I have a couple of ideas, so that's good.
Minor details, but we are going to hang out middle of September. All right, so take us through your journey in event sponsorship. What are you up to, and how much money do you need?
Yes, dig deep, Ed, dig deep. So I guess the topic for this, like you say, came around the fact that sort of I'm trying to look for sponsorship for Phosphor G UK for 2026. And as many of the listeners will know, Phosphor G Global is looking very strong for it basically coming to the UK next year. So there's a few issues around, like, where do people dive into their budgets in order to give money for events? There's also issues around who should we be approaching for various amounts of money for different types of events, because they're very different. And that's just sort of our event, but obviously, as you've alluded to, there's all the other geospatial events as well. In the past, I put on something, this is going back a while, but I put on something called Rasters Revealed, which was a little event in Oxford where, you know, I basically just wanted to put on something, and I got sponsorship for that as well. And I found that there's been a very different feel from when I did that back in, I think it was sort of 2016, 2017, something like that, and now, 10 years on. And obviously, we're in a very different world, but yeah, I just thought it'd be really interesting to talk to you about some of the challenges that I have as an event organizer, but also trying to be fair, really, to what it is that we're asking for. So we're asking money, someone to trust us, basically, to put on a good event for the money that they give. So we need to make sure that as people asking for sponsorship, we're also aware of what it is that the sponsors are going to get from that. So that's the sort of area that I'd like to have a chat around.
Well, first of all, thank you for your efforts on organizing Phosphor G UK, you and all the other volunteers. Because I know it's not a for-profit event. It is all volunteers, yeah. And the sponsors, you know, there are costs associated with an event, and someone needs to find that money. And so that's why we need sponsors. And indeed, that's a very similar situation to GeoMob, in that we have real costs. In our case, it's things like creating this podcast, but also, of course, the actual event itself. Either sometimes we have to pay for the venue, but also just paying for the drinks afterwards. And so we need money to do that. And so the alternatives are either we charge admission or we get the sponsors, or maybe both.
That's very similar for us as well. So I guess one alternative could be that we hike up the prices for attendees, but then you run the risk of attendees won't be able to go. Either they won't be able to afford it, or their organizations won't see the benefit in doing that.
Well, I mean, as an event organizer, I definitely, I want you know, people like students, maybe people who are between jobs or looking for a job, and, you know, current that don't, that wouldn't be able to afford an expensive ticket. You know, I want those people to come, of course, because they're part of the community. So we need to have, we need to find a way to subsidize their attendance.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is sponsors, of course. So
yes, yeah, exactly. And we tried to do the same with Phosphor G UK in that there's a whole series of tiers of tickets you can get, depending on your sort of financial situation. And we'd like to keep the base price fairly small as well. But I think the issue I have is that the burden seems to fall on the organizations that already care about the event. So like, I've gone back to the people who sponsored last year, and last year's people went back to the people who'd sponsored previous Phosphor G UKs. And actually, if you look, if you can see this sort of timeline of organizations that every year stump up some cash to put it on, and that's brilliant. We like, none of this would happen if they didn't do that. But I do feel that it's very difficult to continually go back to them year on year and come at them as a new event every time. So one of the ideas I've been thinking about is maybe, like, if we want to put on Phosphor G UK for the next 10 years, then we need to have a more strategic sort of effort around how we get sponsors signed up and how we can get sponsorship in, so that these organizations know it's coming, they know what the event is going to look like, they know what they're going to get for their sponsorship, and therefore they can plan, which means that we can plan. And I think that would be a really useful way forward.
So yes, I can confirm this tendency as someone whose company has in the past sponsored events of, you know, around certain topics, in our case, mainly OpenStreetMap, but also various, you know, software focused events. In some ways, it can be very frustrating, is that, you know, you sponsor one event because you want to help that event. And then the end result is now you're hit by, you know, for the rest of time, you're going to be hounded about sponsoring that event. But not just that. In our case, you know, we've sponsored some OpenStreetMap events. And now I get emails all the time from, like, you know, do you want to sponsor State of the Map Botswana? Do you want to sponsor, you know, which, of course, I wish we could. But the reality is, you know, we also have finite resources. And in some ways, it's very frustrating that we get, you know, it almost feels like you're penalized for doing a good deed. You know, you sponsor one event, and now you have to ward off all these people who want sponsorship. Particularly, actually, I have to say, in some cases, you know, basically the policy that we've come down to is we only sponsor events that a member of the team will be able to attend. And so just as a blanket policy, so this way, with very rare exception, have we deviated from that policy. Just because, you know, like, if someone contacts me about sponsoring, you know, State of the Map on the other side of the world, you know, I wish them good luck, but I'm not going to be able to be there. I'm not going to be able to really benefit from the sponsorship beyond, you know, just seeing my logo on a website. It's very hard to make resources available for something like that. And so having a blanket policy helps us decide a lot. But even that, though, then there still are, of course, events I would like to sponsor. But the main point I do think is this point that you made about, you know, it feels like the burden is concentrated on very few shoulders. And we as a community, we need to find ways, how do we broaden this? You know, so many people benefit from open source and open data without contributing back. And how can we cast a wider net so that some of that benefit gets brought back to the community?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's interesting because so often online and in person, we have within the geospatial, we have discussions about how, oh, geospatial, it's not a specialist thing. We're not in a silo. Everyone uses geospatial. There's, you know, everything has a location component. And so you go, okay, right. So that means that pretty much all the big companies will be using spatial in some way. And they will be, I'm sure. And most of them will be using open data, or they'll be using some form of open source software. And so you think, okay, right, so for instance, take Phosphagy UK. It's up in Leeds. So let's go and try to approach some of the big players. So I'm thinking like the water companies and the electricity suppliers and things like this, who, you know, some way they will be using that data and they will be benefiting from it. But it's so difficult to find an actual contact to get into. It's been a really interesting experience this time around that accessing people in geospatial is actually quite simple. People, again, this is something that isn't new. People have talked about this on various podcasts, that geospatial is very friendly, and it is very friendly, and they're very open, and it's really easy to find contacts on web pages that you might be able to go to. Like, I could probably find a way of directly messaging you very easily and saying, right, you know, stump up £1,000, please. But trying to get into some of these much larger corporations and say, look, for the amount of money that we're asking for is peanuts compared to your overheads, and the amount of benefit you'll get of supporting something like this from your sort of corporate responsibility and your social responsibility. So that's one of the things I'm finding, is just trying to find ways in to different types of organization who I think are benefiting from geospatial and who definitely do have the budgets. I mean, they must be able to come up with the money.
Well, if I can make one comment there, we're often approached about sponsoring these things, and probably part of that is, I think it's easy to get in contact with me because I'm running GeoMob and stuff like that. Yeah. So, but I do think many times the event organizers come with this idea of like, hey, you know, open data is great, open source is great, you should sponsor it. Which, you know, of course, I that's a worthy sentiment. However, you know, everyone's resources are finite, and there's also the question of urgency of why should I sponsor this event versus that event? Why should I do it now instead of next year? And I feel like the event organizers often don't make that case very well. And particularly, you know, if for a company, one of the main reasons I think to sponsor is for recruiting, you know, to make their brand known. And if they're currently not recruiting, you know, many companies right now, the economic situation is not perhaps as good as it once was. And so people are not recruiting. People might even be doing layoffs and things like that. You know, it's very difficult when you're reducing your team to then, on the other hand, give out money. You know, understandably, people would have concerns about that. But I do feel like the event organizers don't always do a great job of, you know, really selling it in terms of like, what's in it for me right now, for my company. And so that maybe it's helpful if I think of my approach as a company founder of why and when we would like to sponsor. You know, and if the offer is just, hey, your logo is going to be one of 10 logos on the web page, that's frankly not that compelling. I'm not saying I never have done that. Yeah, yeah. I have done that if I do really want to help the project or the organization or but it, frankly, it's a kind of a me too offering. And so one thing I often think about with GeoMob, which I really do try to encourage, is how can we do unique things for the sponsors? So, you know, most famously with splash maps, you know, we give away a splash map. The audience votes for the best speaker prize, and the winner gets a splash map. And so it's good advertising, of course, for splash maps, but it's also, it becomes part of the event, you know, and it's more than just they're one of 10 logos on the page. However, I will concede that it takes effort to try to come up with creative things and to build that into the program, and to not every sponsor wants to do that. I mean, a lot of sponsors are happy to just kind of, here's some money, have fun, which I'm very appreciative of.
Yeah.
But I'm always trying to think of ways for my company of what can we do? I mean, we're a small company, so there are many, many organizations that have way more money. And so just competing by like, here, we'll put money, you know, that's another battle we're going to win. We need to be more creative and clever and try to do things that kind of stand out. And so I'm always quite appreciative of sponsors who actually come with interesting ideas of things that we could do that would be a bit different, or that we would, you know, somehow tie into exactly what they're doing, you know, and create more relevance than just, you know, thank you to these three organizations that sponsored or whatever. Here's our gold sponsor. Here's our silver sponsor. I don't know how you've approached that for Foster GUK, maybe.
I feel chastened now because, yeah, basically the approach this year has been similar to the approach in previous years, whereby we have our different tiers. And what's been interesting is that a number of people who were sponsoring higher tiers in the past are sponsoring lower tiers. And that's perfectly fine. We, you know, any help we can get is greatly appreciated. But I have also been talking to a couple of people outside of GEO, outside of events organization and stuff, just saying what I'm doing, you know, friends that I've been telling them what I've been doing, and they've been asking about the sponsorship. And I was saying, oh, well, you know, if you're gold, you get this, if you're silver, you get this. And they were like, well, yeah, exactly to your point, really. What is it that makes someone want to then do silver or gold? I mean, they get... currently, they get a couple of tickets for people to attend, so that's useful and that's beneficial. But I do like what you're saying about there maybe being a specialist tier where those, you know, organizations who maybe have the money or whatever could come and give a larger donation and then get something specialist. But also jumping back to what you were saying right at the beginning. Everybody on the team that's organizing this are doing it in their spare time, and it is a very small team this year. So,
well, that does make it quite hard, and often the team varies from year to year, right?
Well, so, yes, exactly. Yes, yeah. So there are various things to consider, but I agree with you. I think that actually there needs to be a reframing of the way that sponsorship is done. Whether it's so, one of my thoughts was. Maybe different events come together and, you know, there are sponsorship packages or something, or, and it doesn't need to all be within sort of the Phosphor G type events. It could be, I don't know, GeoMob and say there was a...
That definitely could be the case.
Yeah, yeah, a whole bunch of like in one city, maybe there was three or four events in a year. If everybody knew ahead of time, everybody was looking for sponsorship, that would be a more compelling way. You'd be able to go out to sponsors and say, right, so for instance, this year is Aberdeen's year. We're going to put on loads of events around Aberdeen. We already have GeoMob. We're going to put in some other events as well. How about you come and sponsor these? And we'll make it like a almost like an arts festival over the year, but a geospatial festival sort of thing.
I do like that idea, but obviously someone needs to, as with anything, someone needs to do it. Someone needs to take charge. Someone needs to... but I mean, I've also thought, again, from the perspective of my own little company, you know, in my opinion, we have done some clever things and also some things we've just blatantly stolen ideas that I've seen from others outside of the geospatial space. But, you know, I would also like to find ways to do maybe long-term things. Like maybe if you said something like, where you say like, okay, you know, every year for this conference, I'm going to fund two students to attend or something like that. And you kind of build the brand of like, you know, we're investing in the youth and the, you know, or, you know, whatever the topic is, I don't know, things like that. And you do it, you commit to do it kind of over 10 years, every single year or something like that.
Yeah.
The problem is, I mean, we're such a small company, it's difficult for us to take that kind of perspective, but someone like, you know, as you say, utilities are big users of geospatial, and utilities, you know, I feel have great confidence that in 10 years, we're still going to have a water company and a power company and, you know, in whatever format or way. So, you know, I do wish these kind of larger organizations could take longer perspectives. And we have seen some example of that. I mean, one project that I'm very thankful for and that I admire a lot is Google's Summer of Code, right? Which they've been doing now at least for 15 years or something. And every year, OpenStreetMap gets you know, people submit the projects and they always get four or five interesting projects that do push the project forward. And it's great in that it pushes the project forward, but also it involves working with, younger students at kind of the beginning of their career, and they kind of get drawn into the project. And it also, you know, people volunteer to be mentors and things like that. And I mean, it's a fantastic project. And huge thanks to Google for supporting it over the years. But obviously, someone had to have that idea. I'm sure there's an immense amount of organization that goes into it every single year. Finding the volunteers and picking the projects and all these kinds of things. So,
yeah, and a link to that as well for volunteer groups like OSGU UK, who are the basically the committee behind putting on Phosphogy UK. Because everything is done voluntarily, there is an opportunity, I think, for maybe getting grants to fund people to do some of this organization stuff. So it would take their time out. So I'm trying to think, on our committee, our organizing committee, of the six of us, I think five are freelancers. So, you know, we're already trying to balance.
Trying to find customers.
Trying to get in sort of work and everything else. And some would say, okay, well, that gives you the freedom as well to change the way that you dice up your day so that you can give time to organizing this. But I think having maybe being able to get some form of grant to keep, say, two of them part-time for 6 months or something to actually really push this forward and do the organization, that would be another way of demonstrating that the event itself is a professional event, which it is. Sure. Like whenever they happen, it's the same with when you have Geomov. They're professional level events put on by people who are doing it in their own spare time. So, I think there's the more that I get into the organization of this single event, which for me will just be the single event, the more I can see how actually with a little bit of tweaking of structures around both the organization that is putting on the event and also the way that the event is sponsored itself, you could make this a long-term thing. If you could guarantee, okay, well, we've got the next 5 years already mapped out and we've got an amazing location in the middle of Leeds. There's no reason why we would need to move from there. And the timing seems to work pretty well, sort of autumn time. So it's okay. I can see that there is a case to be made to say, right, here are the next 5 years of Phosphogy UK. And we just need to really go ahead and make sure we've got some good packages for sponsors to sign up to. And we've got a good way of not having the organizers burn out. So.
Yeah, and having that continuity across the years. I mean, this is one of my criticisms of the way OpenStreetMap does it, where each year State of the Map moves to a different city, which is wonderful. But basically, it feels like each year they're relearning, they're starting from zero and relearning. You know, they don't have that continuity. And as a result, they make the same mistakes every single year to a degree. So I do think exactly that type of continuity would be helpful. But also that the sponsors then you could think of like, how can I create a sponsorship package that lasts over many years that helps the company position themselves for whatever it is, supporting this element of the community over many years, and they can kind of then occupy that space in the mind share of the community and say, okay, this company works on that and does that, and they're the experts at this, or they're supporting, you know, the students or whatever it is. I do think also there is a responsibility of the, this going out now to all of our listeners. If you are an employee at one of these organizations and you're using these tools, you're using the open data, I do think you have a responsibility to kind of go to your managers and say, look, we need to give back and we need to support here. And, you know, be it at events or be it directly grants or whatever. And I understand that's not always easy. Of course, obviously, budgets are tight. But, you know, for a lot of these organizations, the amounts that are being asked are so minuscule in comparison to the benefit back to the community.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And this isn't just a sponsorship thing around Phosphagy UK 26, but more generally around all of the sort of open source and geospatial conferences I've been to over my career, you see the burden being on those sort of medium to small organizations a lot more, because I'm guessing a greater proportion of people within the company are using open source or the geospatial.
Well, I think it's probably also they just have more access to the decision makers.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a guy, I don't know if I should single this company out, but I'm going to. It's Apple. So we had a guy who came along to GeoMob Berlin multiple times now and really enjoyed it. And he was like, you know, this is wonderful. And so I'm like, oh, where do you do? Where do you work? And he's like, I work at Apple. And I'm like, well, maybe you could give a talk. And he's like, no, we're not allowed to give talks. I'm like, maybe you could become a sponsor. He's like, no, absolutely not. And I'm like, how can it be that my little 2.5 person company is buying the drinks for the guy who, you know, for the company that every quarter has record $1 trillion profits? I mean, does that really make sense? It really kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth, you know, of like, that doesn't feel great, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, then, I mean, that's a really good example, but you see it replicated elsewhere as well with other very large companies. And it is really strange how organizations you would expect, you know, organizations that could just basically pay for the entirety of the next 10 years of putting on all the events, just don't, but they're quite happy to rock up. But that said, there are also large organizations that do dig deep, and very grateful for those as well. So,
well, as I said, I do understand that organizations say, oh, I don't just want to write a blank check. You know, I don't just want to, we can't just be that every single group that turns up that says, hey, give us £10,000 or euro or whatever, you know. And first of all, they want to have confidence that, you know, the money is not being, it's not a scam. But second of all, that they, you know, that's not being wasted. And also that they're establishing some kind of unique position. And it's not just, oh, we're also a bronze sponsor, or we're also I have to say, last year we did not sponsor Foscus, which is the German equivalent, the German language equivalent of Phosphagy UK. Mainly because in the past years we have sponsored it, and literally we're one logo of 50. And we weren't able to attend last year. And, you know, and it, by all means, it seems like a great event, and I read very positive reviews, but it's not clear to me that as a sponsor we get anything out of just being yet another logo there. And I'd rather find a way to use that money a bit more creatively as something that stands out uniquely.
Yeah.
So
the point you made at the beginning there was really interesting about getting an email from about something you don't necessarily know anything about. I have been very aware recently, sort of as we're coming up to the end of the sort of early bird ticket thing, and trying to have as many sponsors as possible on the website so that people sign up and register and what have you. That in a lot of cases, so it's fine if I approach a geospatial company that most of them, you would hope, would know roughly who I am and what OGO is and what Phosphagy UK is. But when I'm then trying to go out to new organizations, it's like it's an email from some random guy they've never heard of, who's asking for some cash for a conference they've probably never heard of, from a volunteer group they've never heard of. And it's like, I can see how that does become, from the person being asked for the money, I can see how you're not necessarily going to go, oh yeah, I'll click on the link.
Well, particularly also, you know, if it's, I mean, we, OpenStreetMap is a global project, and we often get, I literally get emails from people who are like, oh, I'm organizing, you know, a mapping party in my village or whatever, do you want to sponsor? And I'm like, well, you know, I wish you good luck, but no, I can't just send money to some, you know, random email address, particularly if it's, I have no way to validate it. So, also, I don't feel like we've quite solved the problem here yet in this discussion. I hate to say it, but...
I think we've got some good ideas, though. So whoever takes on the organizing of events in the next 10 years, they can just use our ideas and start to see whether they work. But yeah, it is... it's a tricky one, definitely. It's really hard trying to balance the need to ask for money, but also give benefit to those organizations that are giving money. So
it is a tricky one. So I guess I encourage all of our listeners to get involved, either directly volunteering or to help organize, or you know, advocating within your organization to find whatever, in whatever way, I give back to the geospatial community. And come along to the events and help make them happen. So I guess we can wrap it up there. And we'll carry on the discussion in September at GeoMob London.
Yes. Yeah, no, that'd be great. Looking forward to finally meeting the crew.
Yes, exactly. I am looking forward to it. See you soon, Alistair.
Cheers. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.